In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and he's being sent to Rome at his own request because he had declared himself to be a Roman. And in verse number, I'm not going to read all the verses, but I want to just give you kind of the onset of the message here. The Bible said in verse number 9, they're on a ship, and now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already passed, Paul admonished them. The fast being passed, this was the autumn equinox. It was a time when it was kind of like what we would call hurricane season. It was a time when you could just about mark it down. You're liable to run into a bad storm. So the man of God said unto them, not just because of the history, I believe the Lord had spoken to his heart. The Bible said, sirs, I perceive. You know, we need some more of God's people in the world. Pastors, Sunday school teachers, deacons, moms, dads, teenagers, even teenagers that can perceive, that can understand, God give them a perception. Maybe they're in the wrong place and they need to get out of it, or maybe they can perceive that somebody needs a word of encouragement, or somebody needs a little help. But Paul said, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Paul said, it's going to be a bad trip. We really shouldn't set sail. And the cargo is going to be in jeopardy. Our lives are going to be in jeopardy. But the word of God said in verse number 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed. He's in charge of the prisoners now. And if you understand over, and I think it's verse number, wait just a minute here. I lost it. It's across the way here. But anyway, it was 207. Right there it is, verse 37. We're all in the ship, 216 souls. There were 276 people on the ship. And the word of God said, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. Boy, I just got a thought. Who are we going to listen to, the master of the ship or the master of the sea? Glory to God. Amen. Paul was in touch with the master of the sea. And the word of God said, boy, that's good. I'll have to write that down. Write that down, Miss Eve. I'll preach on that one day. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. After all, you're just a preacher. What do you know about sailing? What do you know about the ship? What do you know about a storm? I tell you, they're fixing to find out, aren't they? Amen. And the word of God said, not long after, verse 13, the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And there's a lesson in that for the church, and for every family in the church. Sometimes when that south wind's blowing softly and everything's just real calm, you might ought to look out. Because just around the corner, honey, there might be a storm like you've never encountered before in your life. The Bible said, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. I've often said that's the worst mistake they made when they let her drive. Say amen. It seems to be all the young boys that's having the wreck, so don't it, girl? Say amen. I think if I have to take a ride, I'm going to let one of them drive. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. And when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ships, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now they've not just thrown overboard the cargo now, but they're throwing overboard the stuff that it takes to sail, the tackle. Amen. And the word of God said, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope, listen to this, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, you should have listened. And now, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Paul said, ship's going down, but boys, we're going to make it. We're going to lose the ship, but we're not going to lose our lives. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. The Bible said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now you think about that for just a minute. The man of God standing up there telling the prisoners and the soldiers and the sailors, be of good cheer. We've done throwed all the cargo overboard. We've thrown the tackling overboard. All hope that we should be saved was gone. And a man of God stands up and says, be of good cheer. I'll just say this before I pray. In America, I tell you, I don't know how much further we can go till all hope that we can be saved will be gone. How many knows what I'm talking about? Our country's headed in the wrong direction at a breakneck speed. And we need to pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that you've blessed us with. God, I pray this morning, Lord, help me, God, to deliver the burden that you've put on my heart. I pray, Lord, this day, Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, I know there are people here, Lord, that are involved right now in a tempestuous wind, a storm in their life. God, I just pray you'll use the message in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach this morning, if I could, for a little while, on help is on the way in our storms. Help is on the way in our storms. We talked about when there was a sin problem, help was on the way. When there was a supply problem, when there was a sea, the problem with the sea, when there was sorrow. And when last Sunday night, when the saints are confronted with a giant in their life, help is on the way. And this morning, I want to look at the thought for a little while. Help is on the way in our storms. In verse number 20, we can see that help was on the way even when it was so dark that they could not see. The Bible said, neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. I don't know about you, but I've had some dark days in my life. I've had some dark days in my life since I've been born again, since I was saved by the grace of God. And the Word of God is telling us help is on the way when it's so dark that you can't see. I'm saying this for Aubrey. I'm still in the introduction, honey. Amen. She likes to take notes. And last Sunday she said, Papa, I had all them notes down. Then you said you were getting ready to get started. Amen. I like that. Amen. Just take notes on the introduction too. It won't hurt. Amen. We need it too. Look at verse number 20 again. Help was on the way. Number two, when the storm was more than they could handle. I'm telling you, it's really not a storm, and it's really not going to drive you to the Savior until it gets to be more than you can handle. As long as we can handle it, amen, we're probably not going to run to the Son of God. We're not going to run to the throne of grace, amen. But when it gets over our head, and when it gets to where we can't handle it, amen, we're likely to run to Him, amen. And we ought to run to Him with everything. Help us right there. We ought to. And then number three, help was on the way even in verse number 20 when all hope was gone. Help was on the way. I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart. Let's get into the message. There's a lot I could say about all those things, but I want to give you the thrust of the message this morning and trust it'll be a blessing. How many realize this morning what the devil wants to do when we get in a storm is cause us to believe that our Savior has forgotten about us. He wants us to believe, Brother Gale, that our friends have forgotten about us. He'll even want you to believe that your church has forgotten about you. Amen. And I want you to know help is on the way for the child of God that's in a storm. And I'll show it to you here as the Lord showed it to me. Number one, I've got seven things. I hope it'll be a blessing quickly. Number one, help comes when we get alone with God in prayer. Look what the Bible said in verse number 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. You say, preacher, why did Paul have to get away from the 275 men? Because this is what he realized. 275 can't help us in this storm. Are you listening to me this morning? The one that can help us, that's the one I need to flee to. That's the one I need to hear from. And so he got away from the 275 men and got with the master of the sea, the master of the storm, and heard from heaven, amen. And it made a difference. So help is on the way when we get alone with God in prayer. My wife and I have experienced this. Both of us have. We've spent too much time talking to each other. Help me. We've spent too much time trying to figure out what to do next. When it would have been better if she would have gotten her corner and I would have gotten my corner and we had got a hold of the God of heaven, the one that could do something about it anyway. Amen. I tell you, listen, help's on the way when we get alone with God in prayer. Secondly, help comes. Help is on the way when we get rid of our pride. He said, now, preacher, I don't know where you got that. Look here with me, if you will. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth, I'm in verse 21, in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Now, listen, it wasn't my friend Paul's pride. That's not what I'm talking about here. But the pride that was in that thing in the beginning. Listen to me. It could be our pride that's getting in the way. But listen, in the beginning, they listened to the owner of the ship. And they thought the man of God didn't know anything about what needed to go on. Amen. But I believe now the pride is overboard. Help me right there. I don't know what kind of box it was in. Amen. But I believe there's a bunch of people on that ship wishing right now they'd have listened to the man of God. And listened to what God had told the man of God. But the pride is overboard. The pride is gone. And sometimes, beloved, listen. You say, preacher, well, listen to me. Did you hear the letter this morning that Brother Brian read from Abram? I couldn't help but when I was preparing to preach last night to think about a line or two in the letter. He said, everybody tried to help me, but I wouldn't listen. You know what? Well, you know when he got help? When his pride went out the window. When he realized it's not this one's fault or that one's fault or this one's fault, but it's me, oh Lord. It's me. Amen. I rebelled against the God of heaven. I rebelled against people that tried to help me. And when he admits that, and when you and I admit that, help is on the way in our storm. If you look at verse 30 and 31, listen, all the pride didn't go overboard. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me tell you something. Listen, I know me well enough to know, and I believe you're cut out of the same stuff. Pride don't go overboard real easy. Help me right there. Say amen. We want to keep a box of that on top of the ship, don't we? Amen. You say, preacher, what'd you get? Look here in verse 30 and 31. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Brother Steve, the man of God has told them we got to stay with the ship. The man of God's told them we're all going to make it. And here's the shipmen. They're acting like, watch what the Bible said. They're fleeing. They're going to flee out of the ship. When they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as they would have cast out anchors out of the foreship. In other words, they camouflaged their actions. Brother Rose, they're acting like they're letting down an anchor when they're letting down some little boats for them to get in and get away from the big boat. In other words, the shipmen still have some pride, Brother Larry. They still think they know better than what the man of God knows. Right? That pride. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me. I'm convinced. I can't say this about you, but I can say it about me. Brother Houston, many times I've went through the storm to knock a pride out of me. And to cause me, amen, to be humble before the God of heaven. And to realize how helpless I am without Him. How hopeless I am without Him. And that I can do nothing without Him. Never hurt me a bit. Amen. God is in control. Help comes when we get rid of our pride. Look at verse 30 here. The shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. In other words, buddy, you better let that ideal alone. And the Bible said the soldiers cut the ropes and let the boats go. Said, you won't be doing that again. Amen. You're going to stay with the ship. The soldiers, amen, said, hey, the man of God's done told us once and again, and we're going to listen to him this time. Amen. I tell you, I can remember being a teenager. I can remember when I thought the man of God was crazy. When I thought living for God, I thought, my goodness, I got a whole life to live. And some people are so ignorant as to tell young people, oh, sow your wild oats. I'll tell you what you get when you sow wild oats, you reap wild oats. And anybody that's given godly instruction and godly counsel will not tell young people or old people or middle-aged people to sow to the flesh. They'll tell them to sow to the Spirit. Because of the Spirit, they'll reap life everlasting. The Word of God said here, they got rid of their pride. Number three, help comes when we hear His promise. Look at the second part of verse number 22. The Word of God said there'll be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, it could be at this time, it could be that even the shipmen were listening. And maybe it was sinking in a little bit. And it could be. That's the way we are. Sometimes we listen to the Lord. It begins to sink in a little bit. But we walk a little further and walk a little further. And the enemy comes and tries to get us to start doubting what God said. That's how we got in this mess. If you'll go back to the Garden of Eden. Amen. Satan wanted Eve to doubt what God had said. And then Satan wanted Eve to deny what God had said. I believe, listen to me this morning. It's a dangerous thing to doubt what God has said. But listen, when they listen to His promise in the second part here, maybe they begin to look at each other, even the shipmen, and say, you know what? He was right the first time. You know what? It's going to be all right. I'm going to show you something in a little while that it definitely caught on that it was going to be all right. I'll show it to you in a little bit. So help comes when we hear His promise. By the way, we don't just hear His promise. We must believe His promise. Listen, Paul, he said, sirs, I believe God. Boy, that's a mouthful. Amen. What a blessing it is when somebody can just stand and say, I am saved. I thank God for saving me. But I tell you another way you can say that. I believe God. God saved my never dying soul. Amen. What a blessing this morning. Help is on the way in our storm when we hear and believe His promise. Number four, help is on the way. Look at the first part of verse 22. When we experience His peace. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully right here. You can't expect the shipmen, the soldiers, or the prisoners to experience peace unless the man of God had experienced peace. It happened first in the Apostle Paul's life. He, look what he said right here in the first part of chapter number 27, verse 22. Now, I exhort you to be of good cheer. You say, how in the world could anybody in the midst of a situation like this be encouraging or exhorting others to be of good cheer? I tell you how. He had something down in his heart this world doesn't know anything about. God had done told him it's going to be all right. God's done told him everybody's going to be all right. God's done told him don't worry about the cargo. I tell you, the most precious cargo we have are these little ones. Help me, amen. The most precious cargo we have, my friend, is the lives and the souls that God has given us. But listen to me, that stuff in the boxes, that stuff in the crates, it's not going to matter one day after a while, amen. Bless the Lord. There's going to be help when we experience His peace. He said, be of good cheer. Number five, help comes when we experience His presence. Look here, if you will, in verse number 23. Paul said, for there stood by me this night. Brother Ralph, there's an old gospel song, Stand By Me. Oh, hallelujah. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to have the God of glory to stand by him. Listen, the God of glory told Moses. Moses said, listen, I want to see you. And he said, you can't see him. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, behold, there is a place by me. He put him in the cleft of the rock. Amen. He let him see his hinder parts as he went by. But I'll tell you this, I believe the God of heaven, if he made a place by him for Moses, he made a place by him for the Apostle Paul, he's made a place by him for you and I. And the most precious place we can be in the middle of a storm is by him and have him by us. There stood by me this night his presence, the angel of God, whose I am. In other words, I belong to him and whom I serve. Personally, I believe that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we don't belong to an angel. Amen. Those angels that refuse to accept worship. Amen. You can read about them in the book of the Revelation. Don't you bow down to me. I'm a fellow servant. Amen. I believe this right here, my friend, is looking at the Lord Jesus. Came on that ship with Paul that night, stood right there by him and said, son, I'm going to tell you something right now. You've never lived until you're in the storm and it's so dark you can't see and all hope is gone. And the Son of God comes by and says, son, it'll be all right. I promise you, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. His presence. Then watch this. Help comes when we enjoy his provision. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Well, I didn't mark the verses. Let me look here. They're right here. I know they are. I read them. Let's start at verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. Watch this now. Saying, this is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting and taken nothing. How many understands, not only are they fasting, not only are they not eating, but they're fighting for their lives. I don't believe there's anybody sleepy on the boat. Amen. They're fighting for their very lives. You say, what's the provision, preacher? Watch this. He said here, wherefore, in verse 34, I pray you to take some meat, for it is for your health. For there shall not a hair... Boy, God's promises just keep getting tweeter and tweeter. At first he said everybody's going to be saved. And now he says there's not a hair going to fall from the head of any of you. You say, preacher, that's a ridiculous promise. It might be, but I just ridiculously believe it. Say amen. I believe, listen, the God of heaven said, listen, not a hair is going to perish. Not a hair is going to fall. Now watch this. Look at this provision in the middle of the storm in verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest things you can do in the middle of the storm is what's coming up right now. And he gave thanks. How many knows, listen, if we're not careful when the storm comes, we can't even see anything to thank God for. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. We begin to dwell. But in the midst of it all, God provides. He took bread. He gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken it, he began to eat. Watch verse 36. Then what the Bible said, were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Glory to God. When the man of God got happy in Jesus, other people followed along. It took them a little while, but now everybody's being of good cheer. Believe in God. In the midst of the storm, help is on the way. Help comes when we enjoy his provision. Let me give you this, number 7, and I'm done. The last thing in the message this morning is help comes when we experience his purpose. Watch this now. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 44. Well, let me just read it. Let me go down here. Verse 41. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. If you can see it now, the front of the ship is stuck and the back of the ship is being beat to death by the waves and by the storm. Now watch what the Bible said. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. So you've had the sailors. They had a lapse in faith, Brother Steve. Now the soldiers have a lapse. They've done forgot that the man of God's done told them they were all, if they stayed with the ship, every one of them was going to make it to the shore. Listen. The Bible said here, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, the one that was over all the soldiers, watch this now. You tell me it don't pay to serve God even in the storm. Willing to save Paul. He really didn't have his eye on all the soldiers. But he knew that if he had to give the command to kill one of them, they were going to kill the apostle Paul as well. And the word of God said, willing to save Paul, he kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. Somebody tell me the next word. How many? What's the next word? Safe. They escaped all safe to land. Guess what? If you're here this morning, did you know Jesus? He knows you. And in the storm, you might wonder sometime, am I going to make it? I've already got a promise from God. Those who are washed in the blood, those who have been born again, those that have taken Christ to be their Savior, they will all be safe on heaven's bright shore one day after a while. Every one of them is going to make it. Every one of them. Listen, I wrote this down. It blessed my heart. Years ago, actually it was February the 22nd, 1987, I set out on a voyage towards heaven. I lived 27 years of my life at a breakneck speed toward hell. But God, help was on the way. And the Lord came and He saved my soul. And ever since that day, I've been on a voyage towards the city of God, toward heaven. Ever since that day, there have been many storms along the way. And as much as it pained me, I wrote these words down. There will be more. Amen. I'm not a TV evangelist. Help me right there. Amen. I believe the Bible. Man that is born of a woman, a few days and full of trouble. There'll be trials. There'll be tribulation. There'll be storms. But thank God, help is on the way. I've lived long enough to say with confidence, in the midst of any storm, when all hope is gone, help is on the way. Have you set out on that voyage this morning? Are you one that can say, preacher, I know that I've been born again. That when I breathe my last breath, a precious lady told me that yesterday in the hospital. She said, preacher, if I could have my way, I'd just like for the Lord to take me in my sleep. She said, I'd just like to close my eyes in sleep and wake up in His presence. Amen. I tell you, for the child of God, listen, I don't know how we're going to go. I don't know when we're going to go, but I do know where we're going to go. We're going to make it safely to that place called heaven. Help is on the way in the midst of our storm. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe each storm that we face is a learning experience. I sent these words along to a young man not too long ago. Everyone listen to me right here. Satan tempts us to do evil. Satan tempts us in an effort to destroy us. How many knows I'm telling it right? Listen to me, he said, preacher, what's that got to do with the message? Listen to me carefully. Here goes. Our Savior tests us. Even the word tempt can be used at times in the Word of God. Amen. But it's a test. It's a trial. It's a test of our faith. Satan tempts us to do evil that he might destroy us. But our Heavenly Father will send trials. He'll send tests. One good example of that is Abraham. Listen, God was not trying to destroy Abraham when he had him to march his son up Mount Moriah and raise that knife. He was not trying to destroy Abraham. He was trying to develop Abraham. If we could remember that in the storm, God, this storm is not to destroy me. It is to develop me. It is to develop my faith. It is to help me to be more like Jesus. The Christian life is more than a song. It's a voyage. It's a journey. We don't get there overnight. And God only knows how many dark days we may go through on the way. But I thank God for this. I'll never go alone. He said he would go with me. He would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He said he would go with me all the way. I say this morning, what a Savior in the midst of our storm. What a Savior. The Apostle Paul, listen, remember what I said a while ago about the storm? I just didn't even want to write it down, but I will. There'll be more storms along the way. Paul gets off. He gets off the boat on a little island called Miletus. And the barbarians build a fire. Paul's gathering some sticks. And a viper comes out of the stick and latches on to the Apostle Paul. You say, preacher, why did you say that? Out of one storm, right into another. If you'll read chapter 28, they're ready to worship Paul. And just a few verses, they're ready to kill him. Man is a fickle being. Say amen. They're ready to worship him. Just a few verses. He said, preacher, I don't know why you mentioned that. I didn't plan on it, but I believe here's why. I thank my God that soon, Brother Gale, we're going to step off on a shore where there's no more vipers, where there's no more trials, where there's no more storms. Until then, our Lord is letting us know, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient. Sufficient. My daughter cut my hair for me yesterday. I was either going to have to do that or get a dog tag, and I figured a haircut would be a little better. And every one of them that fell from my head, I know a few of them fell because when she used the thinning shears, they've gotten a little bit dull, and Brother Grizzle, it pulled some of them out. I felt it. Amen. Some of you fellas that's got thin hairs groaning in your spirit right now because they have to use thinning shears on mine. Well, just groan on. Amen. That's all I know to tell you. Some of us burn up with a head full of hair, and some of the sun burns our head up. Amen. But God, He knows the very hairs of our head. He knows your heart this morning. I look back there at Brother Gerald and I know how he works. I thought about a time when two of our missionaries with Rock of Ages were working on Dr. Garris's house. Dr. Garris was dying with cancer. He was the president of the Rock of Ages. And they sent word. We were in class. I thought I got that over with a long time ago, but we were in class getting instruction. And they sent word that they needed some help. They had already made the rafters. They had already started putting the plywood on. And Brother Robert Keaton, he said that that day we were in class. It was just after lunch. Brother Robert said, they need some help over there. Said, we'll just not come to class in the morning first thing. We'll just go over there in the morning and help them. Well, I found out that some things never change. When I was in school, I would do whatever I could to get out of class. And so I just made the suggestion, why wait till in the morning? Let's just go over there now. Everybody jumped on board. It was about 3 o'clock by the time we got over there. Those two men, Brother Grizzle, were sitting under the shade tree, exhausted. I can remember the expression, trying to remember the man's name, Brother Leroy Demoselis. I can remember the expression on Brother Leroy's face when one vehicle after another began to pull in. I said, Brother Leroy, we've come to help you. He was about to collapse. Can I tell you, there'll be times in your life when you'll feel like you're about to collapse. And Jesus will show up and say, I come to help you. He don't want you to collapse. That evening, we got the rest of the plywood on, the paper and the shingles. We liked one bundle of shingles, having enough to finish the ridge cap. The job was done and we got out of class and I've never been happier in my life. Our Lord will get the job done. We need to trust Him. We need to depend on Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to be here. Thank You, God, for speaking to my heart. Lord, this is not a fairy tale. It's very real. God, I pray You'd help us. Lord, one of the things that we do at our homes, especially in areas of our country where there are tornadoes, where there are hurricanes, when the weatherman forecasts that a storm is coming, Lord, people begin to prepare. God, I pray that some way You would use these words to help us to prepare. Because, Lord, we know the storm will come. God, I pray this morning for that individual that's here and not saved, because, Lord, they're in for a storm like this world has never seen. God, I pray they'd trust Jesus. I pray they'd be saved. I pray, God, for Your children. Lord, some are going through storms in their family. Some are going through financial storms. Lord, some are going through physical storms. Pain, Lord, has wracked their body. Some, Lord, are nearing the shore. Lord, before the sun goes down in the west, the Son of God may appear in the east. We may all be on heaven's bright shore before the day is over. All the redeemed, safe, at home, like Jesus, at last. That is the purpose, God, that You have for our life. Help comes when we experience Your purpose in the storm. Help us, we pray.